all in new order.
Based on hitting a shareholder value.
A lot more global. So creating more programming not only for, you know, us here in the English speaking.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
Sorry about that. I stepped on Orion Samuelson. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Thanks very much, everyone, for tuning in. And welcome to Friday afternoon on 720 WGN as we sit in the Allstate Skyline studio on this Friday. It's a little cloudy today, but it's going to be a bright and sunny weekend. Ben Meyerson is in the studio from Chicago Inno. The folks from Chicago Inno come by on most Fridays to talk about what they've been writing about when it comes to tech in Chicago.
Blue Sky.
Blue Sky. What Blue did Sky. I say? Chicago Inno.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I need a weekend badly. I just botched the open, and I introduced you incorrectly. Blue Sky Innovation in the Chicago Tribune. I don't know why I did that. Ben, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Steve? We can only move on up from here.
Listen, Inno comes by on Monday. If you want to kick back on Monday, you're more than welcome. We've got room in the studio.
We'll see. We'll see what we can do.
All right. So I was reading Blue Sky, and I see that one of the theaters I go to probably more than any is the Landmark Cinema in Highland Park. It just tends to... well, I don't watch superhero movies, and that's all they make for the other theaters anymore. And I see they're up for sale. And who is it? It's Amazon and maybe even Netflix that might be in the market?
Yes. So the Landmark Theater chain, a bunch of art house theaters across the country. We had a couple in Chicago here and, again, in Highland Park, like you said, and Lakeview East. They are owned by Mark Cuban, everyone's second favorite charismatic billionaire, maybe third, depending on your feelings on Elon Musk. But he's been looking for a buyer for these theaters for a while, and both Amazon is the latest rumored to be in on it. Netflix also had been looking at it.
And so interesting to me that, well, let's start with the prohibition first, right? Would there have to be a change in law? Because I did not know that people who make movies can't own places that show movies.
This dates back 70 years, and it doesn't... My understanding is it's not necessarily a law, but a settlement from a court case.
Right.
So it's this... There wouldn't necessarily need to be a change in law, but it sounds like Amazon would essentially be testing a settlement that was made 70 years ago involving Paramount.
Which would have been, I guess, with the federal government then, in one way or another.
Yeah, involving a judge or such.
So the idea was, a so-called judge probably, the idea was that if the movie producers controlled the movie houses, right, they could squeeze out the little guy.
That was the theory there. Now that Amazon and Netflix are going into the business of making their own movies, they've had some issues trying to get their movies into theaters because they want to launch them on their own streaming services at the same time. But movie theaters don't want to show
interest in that, right?
Exactly. Movie theaters only want to show a movie usually if they have exclusive run of it. So Amazon and Netflix are looking at owning their own theaters so they can get around that.
So in a way, not that Amazon is a little guy or Netflix even a little guy anymore, but when it comes to movie production, they are still maybe little guys, and they're the ones going to own the theaters. They want to do it. So it's kind of upside down.
Indeed.
And so any idea where this is going to end up or when we'll have some sort of resolution?
Mark Cuban said earlier this year in April that he was in no rush to sell. So we'll see.
Okay, so that is Amazon getting into bricks and mortar in some way. Google, with their Midwest headquarters not too far from here in the Fulton Market area, they're opening up another store or store themselves.
Yes, this would be... Google is rumored... this is a story that the Chicago Tribune broke earlier this week. Google is rumored to be working on its first permanent retail store. They've done pop-ups all over the place, all over the country. They've done a couple in Chicago, actually, the last couple summers. They did a mini-golf-based pop-up in the Loop earlier this year, and last year they did a donut-based one to market their Google Home Mini smart speaker. But this would be their first ever permanent retail store.
And it would sell what?
So Google makes more and more of its own hardware. They're getting away from the search engine stuff, as everyone who uses Gmail and just about anything else on the internet knows. But they make more and more of their own stuff. They make smartphones, tablets, thermostats, home security systems, and of course those Google Home smart speakers.
So this would be sort of a showroom for those places.
A showroom, but they would be selling them as well, theoretically. And this would be a couple of buildings.
So pretty big store.
Yeah.
And a pretty hot area of town, not too far from their headquarters, right on Randolph.
Mm-hmm.
You could go get a good meal and then buy some Google equipment.
Yes, you could.
So we've got both Google opening up brick and mortar, and then we didn't mention, but should have, Amazon's got a shop in Chicago, right?
Yes. Amazon is going to be opening. They've got plans to open up their new fancy cashierless stores that don't involve you to actually walk up to anybody to check out.
But don't they already have a bookstore in Southport?
They do have bookstores. This would be the next frontier.
I just love the way what goes around comes around in a way. They're certainly doing it differently, but they're opening up a shop near you. Speaking of hardware, we're in the fall season, or we can see it from where we are anyway. This is when we get the new smartphones, right? And we're not on Michigan Avenue anymore, but I don't know. Are people lined up on Michigan Avenue waiting for the next Apple phone?
Probably. You might see a couple of chairs.
It's a perpetual line, though, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do we expect? What's coming up?
Well, Apple has talked about moving towards more of their more phones with the full screen over the front and none of that home button situation. The rumor mill sounds like that's the direction that they're going to go this next year. But it looks like consumers are just not as excited about these phones as they used to be. Increasingly, people are holding onto their phones longer than ever. At the end of 2017, 22% of people said they were holding onto their phone more than 3 years. That's right. Up 4% over the previous year. And people are holding onto their phones for an average of 32 months.
Is that because they do now everything but cook dinner? I mean, I don't know what more I could ask from my phone.
Exactly. You're not seeing the big kind of earth-shaking upgrades that used to. However, not necessarily this year, but next year we might see 5G, which is going to be the next generation of cell phone speeds. So your next set of cell phones might actually access the internet a whole lot faster. And that, people think, could start driving a whole new cycle.
Right. And so, I know they're talking about that already, but you have to have a 5G network too, right? So
yes.
Just because we have a 5G phone doesn't mean necessarily we're going to be golden.
Right, and that's why people are thinking it won't be this year but next year, because they're waiting for the cell phone carriers to start building out that stuff. We're expecting to start seeing that roll out in earnest, maybe around like early 2019.
And will that be a game changer? Will that make a difference?
That's what it sounds like, but we'll have to wait and see.
Ben Meyerson writes for Blue Sky in the Chicago Tribune. He reads Chicago once in a while, as we all do, but thanks for coming by. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, right here on 720 WGN. So thanks very much for that. I don't know what you're wearing right now, and I'm not going to ask, but maybe Mackenzie Rogge will. She is here, spokeswoman for Joriki Yoga Apparel. Mackenzie, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
I might have called you a spokeswoman. I'm sorry. You're the COO. I apologize for that.
no problem.
Maybe by the end, I'll give you another promotion. We'll see what happens.
That would be wonderful.
Looking at Lululemon stock yesterday. They spiked 2.6% just yesterday on some earnings numbers. The demand for athleisure wear has been growing. I think it was $9.6 billion last year. And here comes Joriki Yoga Apparel. With an idea of moving in on that, right? Tell me about Joriki.
Sure. Joriki is a local Chicago company. We started around 2015 with our first collection. We produced in Los Angeles. We also made our last collection right here in Chicago. And we make beautiful yoga athleisure wear for women to live their best lives.
Okay, so I haven't done as much yoga as I used to, but I used to pretty regularly go to yoga classes, and I hear about this. It's not a competition. Do what you want, and show up the way you want. It's kind of a strange, or you tell me, it seems like a strange mix of very basic yoga with fashion. People are getting dressed up to center themselves.
Yeah. Well, I think it's more of like a lifestyle, it's something that you work on your yoga practice on the mat. And then, the idea behind our company was to take what you were trying to achieve and work for on the mat and take it to the streets and take it to your life. So our clothes, can be worn while you're practicing yoga, or they can be used or worn on the street. They're durable, they're fashionable, they wick sweat and are beneficial while you're practicing,
But I think you touched on it. It's really not about what you're wearing while you're doing your yoga or practicing your yoga. The fact is that this line of clothing, this athleisure line now, is stuff that people are wearing 24/7. Denim is down, athleisure is up.
Yeah, it's way far more comfortable than denim. Do you wear leggings, or what do you wear when you practice?
Well, I've got leggings on right now, Mackenzie, but I don't usually. I like to practice with the really short shorts, like I think a lot of guys do. Okay, so how's business? Have you seen growth? I know you're based in Chicago. How are things going for you?
We're doing really well. We are we're closing in on our best month yet, great, ever. So August has been wonderful for us.
Do you find that there are seasons for you? I would imagine, is it like for most retail, the holiday season, or is there no sort of cycle when it comes to athleisure wear?
No, we definitely have a spike around the holidays.
Right.
But like I said, we're in our best month yet, and hopefully they just keep getting better and better.
Men's clothing as well, or just women's so far?
So far, just women's. We do offer a men's T-shirt with our slogan on it, which is "Look Forward, Give Back." Because each of our styles is, with each purchase you make with Juriki, a percentage of that sales goes back to an associated charity.
Right, and so it looks like the different lines are associated with different charities, but all of them to help people who are in need. Where do people find more information, Mackenzie?
You can find us on our website, which is juriki.com, JORIKI.com, or on social media, and our handle is Juriki Yoga.
Mackenzie Rogge, the COO of Juriki Yoga Apparel. Namaste.
Thank you. Namaste.
It's 12:37. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank, right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back. It is the Allstate Skyline Studio. Steve Bertrand here on this Friday afternoon. Okay, I tend to go through life with my eyes half glazed over anyway. When you start to mention government pensions, the glaze increases. On a phone line now is Ed Bachrach. He's the founder of the Center for Pension Integrity, and he's going to make it all simple for us. Ed, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
Is it possible? Can you present this pension situation in a way that even I can understand?
Yes. over the past 30 or 40 years, politicians at the city, county, state level have made promises that they weren't willing to pay for. And so they've dug a huge hole, and we have massive pension debt in the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois, as well as Cook County and just about every other small and large town in Illinois.
Was it always this way, or was there one leader or one event that started triggering sort of the underfunding of the pension program?
No, it's been this way for a long time. Some people are aware of the fact that we have a pension guarantee clause in our Constitution, which right, was passed in 1970. So union leaders and beneficiaries were worried about their pensions back in 1970.
Right, back. So when the Constitution was being written, they were worried that they might be lost or be underfunded. And, you know,
that's right.
And, man, some of these pensions that government workers are entitled to, and I say entitled to because that, you know, they signed up for it. They're very sweet. But I don't fault the workers. I mean, the workers went to the office, and this was the deal that they started with. I don't necessarily fault them for this.
Yes. It's not a matter of fault. And I wish people would get that out of their head.
Okay.
The key is we've just got this big, enormous dollar obligation. And if you talk to a taxpayer, for instance, in the city of Chicago, and you tell them that they're going to have to pay at the minimum $170 billion in the next 40 years to catch up their pension funding, and it's going to come through tax increases, they'd say, forget about it. I'll leave town before I pay that.
But it's going to have to be done.
And yet, if you talk to the beneficiary and ask them, they say, I'm guaranteed this. I'm going to receive it.
Right.
Those two statements cannot both be true.
Okay, so the mayor, or at least there's talk, I don't know if it's been formalized yet, they're talking about this new $10 billion pension obligation bond. Explain that for me and tell me whether or not you think that's a good idea.
Well, first of all, in simplified terms, it is borrowing money through bonds on a general obligation bond. And it's at a taxable rate, so it's not a very cheap rate, probably 5 or 6%. And then take the money you get from that and you put it into the pension funds to catch up the funding on a little bit more accelerated basis. But it makes no provision for how you're actually going to pay for the interest and principal on those bonds. And that's got to come through taxation. So it's like using your credit card to catch up 2 years of delinquent car payments. And the essence is it's like moving a bill from one side of your kitchen table to another without actually paying it.
Okay, so what is the, I mean, so you said earlier it doesn't do any good to cast doubt or cast blame on one side or another. What is the solution then if the borrowing and doing that, what do we need to do? Just raise taxes to get it over with?
Instead of just having a little piecemeal action here, borrow money there, raise taxes there, any mayor of Chicago or governor in the state of Illinois or politician, we need a long-term plan that shows us if we've got our payment schedule that lasts for 40 years, what are we going to do in terms of taxes and benefits for those 40 years so that it all balances out? Instead of just waking up to a pension surprise every 6 months,
right? So we continue to see.
And the solution to that is we've got to start. We do have to raise taxes to address this, but if taxpayers are going to foot the bill for this, which is it's a legacy cost. It's something that was incurred a long time ago. They got to get something in return, and part of what they've got to get in return. Is for the government to discontinue offering these types of pensions to new employees and do their best to freeze the liability for existing active employees.
I mean, almost none. We don't get it. We don't get pensions now, right? Private industry workers, it's very rare that you get a pension.
Are you
saying, though, that we'd have to change the Constitution in order to change the sort of pension system they have?
You can. I think that the politicians at every level need to do whatever they can under the current law to reduce the liability. And if they can't do that, then they need to make new laws to do their best to balance the liability instead of dumping it all on the taxpayers.
You know,
the taxpayers are still going to shoulder the lion's share of the burden, but you got to give them some kind of a break too.
We had a very violent weekend in Chicago a couple of weekends ago, and the city responded by putting extra police on the streets. The following weekend was quieter, calmer. I don't know if that was the reason or not. I read an essay from you, and you argue that when it comes to population per person sort of police force,
yeah,
we maybe have too many police officers. That's going to be a hard sell to the people of Chicago, isn't it?
It is. I mean, Chicago's got a lot of different problems, but they have to address them comprehensively. And, what I've said, and we go into more detail in an upcoming book that is coming out, that shows that we've got about 44 patrolmen per 10,000 people in Chicago. Los Angeles has 25. Houston has 22.
Finish your thought, Ed. I'm sorry.
And they're safer cities. So, again, we need a comprehensive plan for how we're going to tackle our policing problems. And part of it is we got to take a lot of bloat out of the city budget.
Ed
the
Beckrick.
Police and fire.
Ed is the founder of the Center for Pension Integrity. The new book, I think, is called, what, The New Chicago Way?
That's correct.
The New Chicago Way. When will it be available, Ed?
It should be available in December.
Excellent. We'll come back when it is. We can talk more about this.
Okay, Steve. Thanks a lot.
Unless, Ed, you think the problem's going to be gone by then. Maybe not.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's the Wintrust.
Okay.
You bet. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. Remember those grocery delivery robots I mentioned a couple weeks ago? Well, Kroger, the parent company of Mariano's, has decided that Arizona is going to be the testing ground for their group of autonomous, capable Toyota Prius delivery cars. But that's just phase one. They'll eventually be working with these fully autonomous robot cars through the West Coast-based company Nuro, former Googlers. They're planning on the deliveries to be fully self-driving, travel up to 25 miles per hour, and half the size of a sedan. Say goodbye goodbye to old grocery delivery services. It could be insignificant soon. But what will be significant for a while is the impact of the recent tariffs. U.S. Steel is an East Coast-based company that has their largest plant in Gary, Indiana, and they're cranking $750 million into a complete plant overhaul. They said they're doing it in the wake of a huge increase of production demand. The plant is 110 years old, so it's probably about time to do some upgrading. But the kicker is that the company said that they have no plans to add jobs to the 3,800 working force already there. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Our number of the week this week is 904. You know, there's a lot of talk about Special Counsel Mueller and the length of his investigation. 904, the folks at Compass Point Research and Trading looked at all of the special prosecutor's investigations since Watergate, and the average length is 904. Watergate actually was pretty short because I think that's because President Nixon fired Archibald Cox. But when you look at the two others that directly involved the president, Iran-Contra in 1986 under Ronald Reagan, that special counsel investigation was 2,420 days. The Clinton-Whitewater investigation, 2,978 days. So the average, 904. And so far, Robert Mueller's investigation, only 457 days. It's 12:53. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, all here on 720 WGN. On the phone line is Front Row Phyllis, and I hear in my left ear there, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Right?
That must mean they're around, right?
They are around. They are going to be dancing the night away tonight over at Ravinia, and, of course, that incredible legendary band. And I wouldn't put it past them to actually do a tribute tonight
to Aretha Franklin,
right?
You know what? I was toying with going. I don't know if I will or not, but that's an excellent point. I bet that that will come up tonight, certainly.
I think so. I really do. I think they're going to do one or two numbers. I don't know for sure, but I have a feeling they might.
You know, I don't know too much about the current makeup of Earth, Wind, and Fire. Is it pretty, are there a lot of the originals in the group?
There's just a couple of the originals in the group that are still in the group.
So
and
maybe
the
like,
last time,
is it like Earth and Wind and Fire quit? Or how?
Yes.
Which ones are they?
It's Earth, Wind, and possibly Fire.
Okay, good. I like that.
Exactly.
I'm also seeing on my TV screen a lot of pictures of Eddie Vedder in a Cubs jersey. That must mean something.
Oh, yeah. You know that they are in town. They're going to be here tomorrow on Saturday. They're also going to be back in town on the 20th on Monday. I think there must be a Cub game on Sunday, so that's why they can't be there. But, of course, they have actually been performing for over 25 years, 10 albums, hundreds of live performances. And last August, they actually released their live album, Let's Play 2, where the footage and the songs were taped at Wrigley in 2016.
We're talking about Pearl Jam, of course. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they're on, I don't know why they wouldn't be there on Sunday, because the Cubs wouldn't come home for one day. Maybe they just have a little break there.
I don't know. They might have a little break, but yeah, they did release, just so you know, they did release some extra tickets because they were completely sold out for both days. And as of yesterday morning, they did release some extra tickets. So if you're looking to go.
Of course, the Aaron Waters show is coming up this weekend. That's big for everyone. I want to go back to Ravinia, though, because a couple of shows, like Sugarland, is coming up next week. We're taking our son back to school next weekend, and he's got to we got a van because he's moving into a house, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But we're racing back so that we can see Jason Mraz at Ravinia on Saturday night. I can't wait for that show.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited for that show. This is his Good Vibes tour. Of course, you know, he's the guy with two Grammys, selling over 7 million albums, and his latest lead single that just hit, Have It All, released in April, and of course it's just skyrocketing up the charts, as well as his latest album that was released right after that.
I saw him a few years ago on Northerly Island, and they actually turned that into a DVD, so looking forward to that. All right, so some of the stuff this weekend, it's going to be busy. Where do people find more information, Phyllis?
Just go to frontrowphyllis.com.
All right, have a great weekend. We'll talk soon.
You too.